Steve Greenfield is the congressional candidate of the Green Party in New York's 19th district, currently held by John Faso. Steve, as I forewarned in the last conversation we had, we got to go really quickly, and I'm going to try to get a whole bunch of stuff in. So here we go. Guns.
I'm a very firm believer in the Second Amendment, exactly the way it was written and exactly the way the founders explained it in Federalist 29.
Keep going.
Oh, you told me I was only going to have one sentence.
I'm not
satisfied.
You told
me I was
going
to only have one sentence. I believe that the intent of the Second Amendment was to support a state militia system as a substitute for a national standing army. It was clear that the founders meant that we spend at least twice as much as we need to be spending on our standing army. And it's devastating to our economy, and it's devastating to our foreign policy. And I would be very happy if we could return ourselves to a formal, well-trained, and state-defending militia system, as the Second Amendment advocates.
DACA and immigration.
You know, I have some problems with DACA because I look at, I support it, you know, on its own, but not separated from the rest of the immigration issue, because the Dreamer environment is designed only for people who are still old enough for military service. It ends at the age of 34. It is only supporting people who are educated and who came here at a certain age. And most of the people that need immigrant labor in this country are farmers, are the hospitality industry. You hear that all throughout the 19th district, the landscaping industry, and even the light construction industry. And so we need immigration reform that's focused more on work visas and less on categorizing people demographically to keep them here. I would be happy to discuss immigration reform that treats, you know, working class immigrants on the same status as we treat military eligible and college educated immigrants.
The Mueller investigation.
So far it looks like the Mueller investigation is doing a great job. I think we need to be on our guard against interference with that election, which is ongoing. I wish I could see more active resistance in the American public against the obstruction of justice that's going on.
What would you like
on.
To see? Pots and pans out in the streets?
No, I would, you know, like to see people out there actually doing advocacy on the issue and forming contingency plans for if the investigation is actually scuttled or if Mueller is filed. Yes, you know, flowing out in the street. You know, we all admire that when we see it in the Republic of Georgia or in the Ukraine, when they go out in the street and remove somebody who did not, you know, legitimately hold the office. And we watched it on TV. It rapt attention. But God forbid we should ever do something like that here in the United States. Why didn't we do that in Florida in 2000? The Republicans were out there chanting all around the counting office and managed to stop the count. And that's how George Bush became president. Why aren't liberals doing that to support their own interests?
Speaking of which, the gerrymander.
The gerrymander. Well, the gerrymander is, you know, as frequently described, you know, the gerrymander is how incumbents and how parties select their own voters instead of allowing voters to select their own candidates. We have a district right here, the 19th. Constantly referred to as a purple district, but it's not. This district is 30,000 voters in favor of the Republican. And that's because for some reason people are only looking, when they look at the Board of Elections registration site, at the Democrat and Republican lines without acknowledging that the Conservative Party and the Independence Party overwhelmingly vote Republican and have endorsed the Republican in every race since this district was created. And the vote separation in each election has reflected that. This is a gerrymandered district, and that's a big uphill battle for anybody to climb. But then again, you have to keep in mind that, you know, there are more people that are not registered with either major party than are registered with either of them. And that's the area where you go looking, along with the 55% of people here that don't vote at all.
The Hudson River.
The Hudson River is really the heart and soul of this district, you know, from north to south and everything about it. The Hudson River continues to need our attention for its environmental protection. And a lot of people out there would like to disparage that kind of approach because they talk about, you know, why aren't we looking at economic development instead of protecting the fish? Well, here in the Hudson Valley, those two are inseparable, right? We are substantially, our two biggest industries here are agriculture and outdoor recreation. So if you're not protecting the environment, you're not protecting the economy. Our jobs and the continued success and survival of this district economically depends on its environmental survival. And we need to be working much harder at protecting and defending the fresh water in the Hudson River.
My personal hero, this is a little bit of a curveball, Pete Seeger.
a personal hero of mine, and I got to meet him, and I was at his 90th birthday concert in Madison Square Garden, and I introduced my children to him over at Beacon. When I was very young, obviously a tremendous hero of mine, and I really wish that more and more people who consider him a hero would look a little closer at the life he led that made him into the hero that we all believe him to be. His socialism, his powerful peace activism in the 1960s, his cleanup of the Hudson River, the fact that he left the Weavers because they were going to do a commercial endorsement. And he refused to do that.
I was the first one he told that to, I believe.
You know, and that kind of brings us right back into the election. You know, you've got a Democrat who's going to be funded in at about a $5 million level, a Republican who's going to be at a $5 million level, all from corporate sources. We talk all day at the roundtable this morning. You were talking about the effect of corporate money, you know, overtaking democracy itself. There's three candidates in this race, and there's only one who's not taking any corporate sourced money. And you're talking to him right now. So I hope people who have that interest learn to, you know, maybe talk about it a little bit less and act on it at the ballot booth a little bit more.
Steve Greenfield, next subject, real quick, Medicare for all.
Absolutely. It's the only viable system. It is exactly what we looked at in the 1800s about making the fire services on a single payer system and a public system. We cannot cover everybody on any other system. That's a big distinction between Antonio Delgado and myself, is that he does not support single payer. And every country in the world that has that kind of system or a similar system pays half to one third per capita per person on their medical expenses that we do. People talk about how it's not affordable. It's absolutely affordable. It's twice as affordable as the system that we're using now, is the Obamacare system. And something I want to leave people thinking about here in this district, I did some research and found out that from community to community, our property taxes are made up, depending on your address, between 15% and 20% of your property taxes. So even in talking in terms of taxing to make this system happen, if we had single payer health insurance in this country, everybody within listening distance of this conversation right now, your property taxes would go down by 15% to 20% in perpetuity on the day that we adopt that system, because that's what you're paying to give private insurance to your municipal employees and school teachers right now.
Wow. So campaign finance.
I think it needs to be completely done on a fully publicly funded system that's done in so many other countries. We're obviously suffered. The single greatest contributor to the degeneration of democracy in this country is our campaign finance system, and it seems to be intractable. But, you know, the main reason that it's intractable is because people keep voting for people that don't really want to do anything about it. You know, everybody that you vote for, Antonio Delgado won this primary. He was the highest financed candidate of the seven people in the field. If you keep voting for people who benefit from the private finance system, the unlimited private finance system we have, then there's never going to be any change. And I believe we need to have a publicly financed system so that the people with the most money can't maintain their permanent advantage in how we elect people.
We got it in New York City.
Yeah.
And it seems to be working, except that, you know, the guy with $32 million in the bank or $30 million in the bank seems to be ahead in all the polls.
Well, you know, what ends up happening, as long as it's legal to make these contributions, and as long as it's legal for PACs to have unlimited money and pretend that they're not coordinated with campaigns, which is just a ridiculous statement that we ask people to make for legal cover, is that the people who believe that they're benefiting from the institution or continuation of a particular administration are always going to flood it with money, because for them, it's not a donation. It's an investment.
Absolutely,
you know,
right.
When I make a donation, I'm making a donation. That's money I'm not spending going to a restaurant tonight. But when substantial business interests make donations, they're making investments in what they expect to get back from those elections.
Well, thank you very much, Steve Greenfield of New York's 19th District, running on the Green Party ticket, currently held by first-term Republican Congressman John Faso. We so appreciate your being with us.
I very much appreciate being here. Look forward to speaking to you again.